Hi everyone, my name is Irina Shatokhina. I'm from Ukraine and I'm a member of European Democracy Youth Network. Today our guest is Carlo Angrisano, head of European Democrat Students, the biggest student organization in Europe, as well as the official student organization of European People's Party. So today we will talk about the situation with coronavirus in Spain, how it affects people, especially young people and students, and of course, how EDS conducts its work during the quarantine. So, Carlo, the floor is yours, and the first question is regarding the ongoing situation with COVID-19 crisis in Spain.
Well, first of all, thank you, Irina, for the invitation to this podcast. It's an honor to be here with you. And regarding your question, well, I have to say that people in Spain are coping well with this very difficult situation. The society understood the situation and that all the measures were taken for their best interest. And I have to say that most of the people respected the confinement and people behaved with a lot of commitment to the whole society. Nevertheless, I have to say also that unfortunately in Spain, we don't have a government that is ready to deal with these emergencies, with this crisis. Why is that? Because we have one of the worst governments we ever had in democracy, if not the worst. Because we have people that are not prepared to be in a government position. We have a prime minister that is only thinking about the polls and about his personal rating and absolutely wanted to have a huge demonstration when the crisis of coronavirus was already there. And this is mostly why we are the country in the world with the worst ratio of deaths by 100,000 inhabitants. This means that in Spain, even if we had more time than Italy, than France, and than other countries to get prepared for coronavirus, we didn't, because of the political interests of the government. And now we are facing the extension of the state of alarm, which will mean more regression in the civil rights of our citizens and the turn to authoritarianism from a government that is already supported by regimes like Iran or Venezuela.
So do you believe in youth power to help end this pandemic?
Absolutely. I believe that according to the statistics and according to what the experts are saying, we as young people have more chances to survive, to be asymptomatic to the pandemic. So a young person in good health should also have more responsibility in the de-escalation period. And also it means that we have a huge responsibility because we can carry the virus without having symptoms. And that means that we can infect elder people or people that belong to risk groups. So we have a big responsibility and I believe that we should face this responsibility with pride and that we should be put back to work as soon as possible, as it is less risky to have young people working than elder people working. So we cannot turn our backs on this responsibility.
Okay. Can you name, for example, 5 things young people can do to join the global COVID-19 response?
Well, we can name much more than 5 things. But the first thing, and it's very hard to say, but we must stay away from the groups of risk. That means we cannot go hug our grandparents, we cannot go hug our own parents if they are old. But what we can do for them is we can go to supermarket, we can leave them what they need in front of their door, we can help them with their cars. So there are a lot of things that we can do to help the others. Then we must keep studying. We cannot believe that this is a hold on our studies. I believe that at least in Europe, our universities and our high schools were not so badly prepared. We can keep preparing ourselves for the future, and especially with the economic crisis, we must give more attention to our studies. Then, of course, there are many other ways of being volunteers, or as I said, by carrying the responsibility in some companies that maybe we as young people that have more chances to be protected of this virus, then I believe that we could take some steps to make this company survive, so we could start going to the working place if it's needed when the government says it is secure to go there. So there are many, many ways we can confront this pandemic, that we can cooperate together, that we can give some help to people that really need to be helped. We can help other people not to feel so alone. This is a campaign that my organization in Spain starts to support people that are alone at home and to simply call them. It's a very simple gest, taking our phones, calling them, telling them that they are not alone. So there are many ways, more than five things that we could actually do to help the others.
Really, this idea with this campaign sounds really great. Is it like a platform with the numbers of, like, I don't know, old people or some vulnerable people, so that you can choose whoever you want to call or what?
Well, we launched this campaign with the opposite approach. We don't call people we don't know. We actually instated a phone number and everyone can call to this phone number and they will find someone from their province in Spain to talk to.
Very, very interesting. And like about education, how to stay motivated while you are staying, while you are studying at home? Because young people, they are missing the communication, they are missing their meetings, chattings, and so on. So how to stay motivated?
Well, of course, it is a very hard time and we must face reality, and reality is painful. We must stay motivated, but it's also a time for a bit of suffering. We shouldn't try to hide that there is some suffering in the society. There is a lot of bad things going on, so we will mourn a lot of people. And this is important that we don't forget about them, that we have a realistic approach. And the motivation must be this one, that we are facing a very hard reality right now. We are facing a reality that is similar to a wartime situation. And our motivation is to improve this reality. So why should we abide by the confinement measures? Because we want this crisis to be over as soon as possible. And this must be the first and biggest motivation. But then there are, of course, other good things. For example, what this crisis has proven to us is that we are more globalized than ever. I have to say that I am very lucky in my job. I have a great mobility. That means that I travel 2-3 times per week to different places. And of course, it is not easy to be present everywhere. While I chair EDS, which is an organization with more than 40 member organizations from more than 35 countries, this means that to be in contact with them, I have to travel a lot. But during this pandemic, while I was staying here in Brussels, I didn't stop being in touch with them. And actually, it's more the opposite. I had the chance to be connected with many people from the US, from all around Europe, from Asia, from Latin America, from Northern Africa. I was connected with everyone. Thanks to the fact that we are all facing the same situation around the world, I was able to stay connected with much more people from much more different places than ever before. And I believe that this is something that can help everyone in preparation for their career, for their studies. And it's something that we should try to take profit of.
So you mentioned one really important thing, and it's to stay connected. So what steps should youth and student organizations take to mitigate the COVID-19 crisis? So particularly on the example of EDS.
Well, one part of our role is mainly checks and balances. So what we want is to pay attention to what the executive branches of governments are doing, especially regarding education. I believe that education was not taken as seriously as it should have been by most of European Union countries. So we are trying to set some common ground, especially the examinations in this COVID-19 period. And how can we do that? Well, of course, as I said, by having meetings online, by writing policy papers, we need to focus on concrete proposals, on concrete ideas that can actually be implemented by our member states. This means that we must keep our working pace from before the crisis, using all our connectivity tools, and then we have to be ready to reply to every proposal of the governments, because some may be good, but I have to say that, for example, in Spain or in France, they simply decided to suspend what is called baccalaureat or selectividad, which is the final exam at high school. And this is an exam that will allow you in some universities, very, very important exam for a whole generation that will mark their careers and their lives. So they simply suspended this and they already assigned a note to these students. I'm not sure that this is the best way to proceed. And this is why we have written very extensive policy paper regarding higher education and what measures should be taken to have a fair system of examination.
So I want to ask you, EDS, as an official student organization of the European People's Party, do you feel the support, and which tools does EPP suggest to protect students from the consequences of this crisis?
Well, this is a very good question. The EPP, of course, has also suffered this COVID pandemic, and this means that most of the activities, starting from the political assembly, that is the most important body, have been suspended so far. Nonetheless, the EPP has established a system that is called the EPP Dispatch, that is pretty much like a newsletter where it keeps posted all the member parties about the activities of the EPP. And since we are an official association of the EPP, all of our policy works, our policy papers and our work is a part of the dispatch. And I am very proud to see that, so that all the member parties of the EPP receive directly from the EPP our ideas and our proposals on education. And this is a huge endorsement to our ideas. This is something that, of course, is happening thanks to the Secretary General of the party, to Tono López Istúriz. He has been in contact with us. We already had one large meeting via Zoom with the Bureau, where we introduced the first policy paper. And today we will have a second very large meeting with Mr. López Istúriz to introduce another set of new policy papers, that are three policy papers, and we are already preparing and working on three more policy papers for the next edition of the dispatch. This doesn't mean that member parties or the EPP group will necessarily adopt our policy proposals. But this means at least that they will know that this is the official point of view of the EPP, supported by the EPP, written by EDS.
It's a very great example of the cooperation between the European People's Party and student organizations. So thank you for your answers. It was extremely interesting to hear the experience of how the leading student organization in Europe works and how it responds to the crisis. So thank you so much for your answers.
Thank you, Irina, for the invitation to this very nice interview. I have to say it's my first time in a podcast. I am used to radio, and now it's the best timing than ever. This is a time for digitalization where we are doing everything online. So I experienced the Instagram live interviews and now also the podcast. And I have to say that both experiences are very positive, constructive, and I wish you good luck with your job back in Ukraine.
Thank you. So the coronavirus are times for challenges.
Thank you so much.